Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in.
Our scripture this morning comes from 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. So listen for the word of the Lord. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and this is what we are. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Holy God, open our hearts and minds to your word as we find it in this snippet of scripture today. May it find root there, and may it live in our lives, and we live in it as we go serve you in this world. We ask it all in the name of your living word, Jesus the Christ, in the power of your spirit. And the people of God together say, amen. So it's just a brief scripture passage. You know, we often share it in baptisms after the man or the woman stands from kneeling, if they're able, or we hold the baby, the child, and we say, see what love the Father has for us, that we would be called children of God, and so we are, or that is what we are. Brief passage this morning. I found an old New Yorker cartoon that had two angels walking in heaven. And one of the angels says to the other, I don't want to let being dead define me. You kind of had to see it to really appreciate it. This is a sermon in 7 or 8 or 9 parts about how we define ourselves, who we say we are in relation to one another and to God. Last Sunday, this anniversary slipped up on me and missed me, but it was the 30th anniversary of the terrible genocide in Rwanda in 1994. Around 100 days during the longer civil war in Rwanda, Hutu militia slaughtered up to 1 million Tutsi and moderate Hutu and Twa tribal groups. Something like 1 million people were slaughtered by rifle, by machete. Sexual abuse was rampant. This is a country that is 95% Christian. Christians were slaughtering Christians. A cardinal from Rome, Roger Ettinger, came on behalf of the Pope and stood in the aftermath of this slaughter and asked tribal leaders, are you saying that the blood of tribalism runs deeper than the waters of baptism? And the answer was yes. The blood of tribalism runs deeper than the waters of baptism. It's not the way it should be, but it is the way it was during those terrible 100 days. If we define ourselves by our baptism, we define ourselves as united in baptism, united in Jesus Christ. If we define ourselves in terms of baptism, I think this is the cardinal's point, we affirm our engraftedness into the body of Jesus the Christ. In baptism, we affirm that we're part of the same family, part of the household of God somehow, engrafted into God's beloved clan. The cardinal asks a theological question, but it's a practical question too. Who are we? Is our connection to God more important than our connection to one another, to tribe, to politics, to party, to race, to clan? this question underscores a timely message for us today when so much divides us. And I don't want to cause a fist fight today, but UConn versus Purdue. Iowa versus South Carolina. Tomato versus tomato. Russia, Ukraine, Palestine, Israel, Biden, Trump. The divide between the Hutu and the Tutsi people after 30 years has been mending. They have been coming together. The country has paused to make milestones of this horrible terror that is a red letter chapter in their country's life. They have come together, but not so much, not yet, for other divisions in the world. There are many people who stand in disparate places with enmity as they look towards one another. It's a critical question. Are we united in the one body of Jesus Christ? Are we? Are we valued more broadly? Are we beautiful? Are we blessed parts of God's creation? That's what I read in Scripture, but do we believe that? If the answer is yes, then why the discord and why the violence? Does tribal blood run deeper than the waters of baptism? How do we define ourselves? Who are we? Dietrich Bonhoeffer asks this question from prison. As you know, I've shared this point many times from the pulpit. His guards liked Bonhoeffer. He was a pastor convicted of attempting to be a part of an assassination attempt on Hitler's life. He was imprisoned. He was hung just days before the end of the war in April in Tegel. But he was beloved in the prison. Guards would come seeking advice from him, asking him to pray for them. He was their pastor. On the one hand, he was very valued, but on the other, he was terrified, and he felt very much alone, though he didn't show that. And he wonders, am I two people? Am I the trusted pastor who has it all together? Or am I someone riddled with self-doubt and self-hatred on the verge of falling completely apart? Who am I? Our answer to that question matters. Who am I? It really does matter. How do we define ourselves? If I am nobody, if I don't matter, maybe you don't matter. Maybe life has no value for me and maybe not for you. If I belong to God, on the other hand, if I'm part of God's household somehow, if I'm part of the body of Jesus the Christ, we Christians would say, my life and every life is sacred. Sacred. And truly we are, if we believe that Genesis narrative, created in the image of God. Bonhoeffer famously answers the question, who am I, at least in this poem. He says, am I this person or that person? Whoever I am, thou knowest, O God, I am thine. Say that with me. Whoever I am, thou knowest, O God, I am thine. One more time. Whoever I am, thou knowest, O God, I am thine. See, if we belong to God, it changes everything, doesn't it? I don't live just for myself anymore, because someone loves me and calls me and expects to use me somehow in the world. Does tribal blood run deeper than the waters of baptism? Who am I? How do we define ourselves? Julian of Norwich said in the midst of the Black Plague that she knew she belonged to God and that God was working somehow, God was working God's purposes out, that she and we were in God's hand, that God's providence for us in the midst of the Black Plague, God's providence could still be trusted. Her small life within the vast care of an almighty God gave her the confidence to say, even in grave hardship, all will be well, all will be well, all manner of everything will be well. pie in the sky, a crazy woman, a rosy glasses, or a woman rooted in the providence and the care of the God who brought creation from chaos and nothing. This affirmation comes from deep trust. She had a sense of who she was in God's providence, and from that deep trust, she could say that most outrageous statement of faith. This winter, as you know, our daughter-in-law's father died suddenly, and it turned our family's life upside down. It changed everything, and our heads believe all will be well, all will be well, all manner of everything will be well. But our hearts are catching up, and they have not yet arrived. Do we define ourselves as secure in God's hands or not? Kansas, the great rock and roll band, came Friday, and they asked, are we just dust in the wind? You know that song? Raise your hand if you know that song. I have a friend who says, you know, I like Kansas, okay, but I hate that song. I like it too. I like it too. But it's a good question. Who do we stand on this issue, with Julian of Norwich or with the rock band Kansas? I stand with Julian and other Kansas songs that are more affirming. Though those lyrics are really from Ecclesiastes, from our Hebrew scripture. All we are is dust in the wind, just vanity. It's all vanity. How do we define ourselves? Yeah, it really is an important question. When we are riddled with self-doubt or self-hatred, or we just feel like we don't measure up, when, you know, that imposter syndrome, when that's active in our life, when the internal critic is standing on our shoulder saying, you're just not good enough compared to all these other bright-eyed people. Who we are, how we answer that question really does matter. It really does. The writer of the first letter of John, that little snippet of scripture we shared, says that we're children of God. John uses the word father to describe this intimate relationship we have with God. And the word father or mother, even the words family, may not bring us much comfort or may not be a metaphor that's helpful for us, because fathers or mothers for us have been those who've abandoned us or abused us or harmed us in some way. But John's point, besides that language of family, is to say that God is not some far-off clockmaker God who loves us vaguely or intellectually only or remotely, but that God intimately knows us and loves us. We're loved by our Creator, and we are, by definition, in relationship somehow with this cosmic God. We are wholeheartedly members of this household of faith. We are, John would say, beloved children, and this can't be earned. It can't be taken away. It's a gift, a holy gift, a grace. We belong. We belong. And this is really important. So does everybody else. So we treat one another with respect. We walk away when we need to walk away. We stand up when we need to stand up. We listen more than we speak. We belong, and so does everyone else. And somehow, by God's grace, we're called to get along. Not to like one another, maybe, but to love one another for sure. How much, Jesus would say? This much. During the sacrament of baptism, we often share those words. See what love the Father has for us, that we are would be called children of God. And so we are. How do we define ourselves? Who are we? Who are we in relation to God? In our prayer of confession, we just prayed it. Those words were drawn from the confession of Belhar. And do you remember the words? Oh God, though you have entrusted your church, with your message of reconciliation in and through Jesus, we confess. Listen, we confess. Sometimes we align with systems of sin and death. So how we define ourselves determines with whom we align ourselves. And people who define themselves differently, better or higher or more important or more valued, are people we're not aligning ourselves with. We're aligning ourselves with good, not evil. We're aligning ourselves with those who would be about building up, not about those who are tearing down. I'll close with two images, and I have about 45 minutes to go, but we're really getting close to the end. The first image is the eclipse. You know, here in Champaign, right in this part, we had an eclipse. Did you all have one where you were? An eclipse. The sun lines up in front of the moon somehow, and then the moon miraculously enlarges. I don't know how it happens. It's physics. I don't know how it works. But for a moment, it's dark where there was a total eclipse. Here there was a 98%, at least in the parking lot, I understand there was a 98% eclipse. And even so, with just a little sliver of sun shining, it was still quite bright. It was different, quite bright. This eclipse reminded me of my place in the cosmos. It's a big world out there. It's a big universe, but I'm in it, and I have a tiny, small, microscopic part in it. How cool is that? This eclipse reminded me that God, our Creator, does amazing work. God, Michelangelo said, is the first artist. Amen to that. This eclipse reminded me that I'm part of something bigger. Joe and I sat in the parking lot with our funky glasses leaning against my Subaru saying, wow, 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 over and over again. It brought some joy. It brought some humanity, this cosmic event, to our lives here in this place. That eclipse reminded me of something about who I am and who God is and how glad I am to be a part of it. Second image has to do with Destin Limbe Limbe. Many of you know Destin. He has a giant smile. You raise your hands if you know Destin. You know who I'm talking about. Yeah, Destin Limbe Limbe. When we went, he came from the Congo as an elementary student, I believe, and then has been here in Urbana ever since. When we got here in 2018, I led a go and serve mission trip. We went to Little Rock, and Destin was one of the high school kids, a senior, who went along with us. And after that trip, he always calls me brother. My brother, he says. But before I'd see him in the farmer's market, you know, hundreds of people away, and I'd wave and he'd say, my brother! And he'd come and embrace me, my brother, my brother. I called him. He lives in the western suburbs of Chicago now. I called him up. He said, my brother, how are you? How's Miss Rachel? Everything okay? My brother, my brother. Gregarious Destin calls me his brother. Wow. I'm a father, I'm a husband, I'm a son. I'm a colleague, I'm a friend, I'm a child of God, and Destin will never let me forget it. I'm a brother. I'm his brother, he's my brother. We are brothers and sisters with one another. My brother, Dennis, my brother, my brother. We are siblings together. He will not let me forget it. Help me say this word. Alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia indeed. John reminds us, this snippet of scripture and this beautiful letter to the early church reminds us that we are children of God, which makes us, of course, siblings. The Hutus had forgotten this during the Rwandan Civil War in 1994. They defined the Tutsis as enemies, not as brothers and sisters. We do the same thing. We do the same thing. We forget our humanity and we forget our connection whenever we speak or think poorly of another. We align ourselves with systems of sin and death. I don't want to make them seem more guilty than they are. I want to remind us that sometimes we have seen the enemy and the enemy is us. The good news is that we are related. We are beloved. God calls us to love the world like Jesus loved it. and by the power of the Holy Spirit with humble courage and great joy. We can, by God's grace, and we, on our better days, do. See what love the Father would have for us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are.
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.